We will read from Luke 2, starting in verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, light for the revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Thanks be to God. So, wow, I feel God at work already really strongly today. I mean, he's not even done. So I'm very honored to be a part of the service today. My name is Leonie. For those of you who don't know me, I've been around for, I think, 3 years, a little bit more, with my family here in the church. I'm sitting down mostly today. I will tell you a bit later maybe why. But today we are going to talk about Advent. Maybe some of you, I'm like tilting, so let me see how I can fix that like this. Maybe some of you are thinking like, oh, finally, we're already on the third candle and we're going to talk about Advent because we were in another sermon series. So today we're going to dive in the topic of Advent. And I'm already wondering because we in Holland, we don't have a really strong culture of Advent. Besides maybe the Advent calendars, which is all about getting a chocolate or whatever. It's every team is available right now. We have Lego, we have Squish-alongs. Many of you don't know what it is. We have coffee and we have licorice at our home. But I'm wondering, are you doing any practices for Advent? Maybe with your family or just by yourself? Anyone doing something with Advent? No one? Who has an Advent calendar? Please share. It's okay to have one. Okay. Yeah, well, so we're not very strong in the Advent season in Holland. As you can see, most of you are not from here, but you also maybe don't feel inspired to do something with it. And actually, it also feels kind of funny that I'm here preaching to you about Advent, because the season also didn't speak to me for quite some time. Although as a child, I loved it, because I come from a Protestant church, so church services weren't really lively and fun, especially for children. But when it came to Advent, there was all this decoration set up, the lights, and we as children could light the candle or maybe perform a song or do the scripture reading. So as a child, I really loved it. I felt more cozy in church and also in our home. And if you come to our house now, it's also cozy with the lights and stuff. I love that. But what is Advent really about? That didn't speak for me for quite a long time, because we also always, like, it was leading up to Christmas, like the birth of Christ. And every year for me, it felt like we're the same scripture that we read. And it was on and on the same thing every year. Yeah, so When I grew older, I started to have these unholy thoughts like, okay, let's get it over with. We already know, yeah, he was born in the crib and there was no room for him and the angels came. And we already know this. Can we like move on? Can we please skip to something else? I don't know if you feel that way too, or maybe not. But and another thing that also started to happen when I more passionately began to follow Jesus, that I started to live it out like every day, also with Easter and the other special days in the year, because it was part of my everyday life. It was not so special anymore to look back on it every year. So it kind of lost its attraction to me for the good reason that it was there in my daily life, but it was also kind of sad. I think it wasn't until a few years ago, and maybe it was here in Vineyard, I don't really remember, but I started to experience Advent as a different season. Because here in Vineyard community, we also put more emphasis on Christ's second coming. So not only, yes, we know he came to the earth as a baby, but we also know that he will come back, and that the season of Advent is a season to dive into that, that we are still waiting, actually, for him to come back. And that's also where Advent comes from. It comes from the word Adventus in Latin, and it means coming. So it's about coming of Christ. I read a book, part of it last year and also this year, from Tish Warrington. It's called Advent. I have a picture. At least it's supposed to be up here now. And she says, like, Advent focus on the three comings of Christ. So the first coming of Christ is that we remember and try to imagine what it would have been like to wait on the Messiah for the people of Israel in the Old Testament. We look at the pain of the whole of creation and labor for the coming of Christ. And we long with them for Christ to come and be born into this world. We endure the darkness that comes before dawn. And secondly, we focused on the waiting for Jesus' second coming. When will he come again to set all things right and settle his kingdom of peace? We live in the hope that Jesus already set us free, but we also live in the here and the not yet of the kingdom. And thirdly, Advent puts focus on the coming of Christ in our everyday life through the work of the Holy Spirit. So as you can maybe read or hear through the lines what I'm telling you, Advent is also known as the season of waiting. I never really got that growing up, and looking around me is even more and more forgotten, because why wait on something you already knew was there? We knew he came. But it's about waiting a lot. We, in the Western world, we seem to have taken Advent as an excuse to dive into all the Christmas stuff earlier, because in fact, we don't know how to wait. It's one of the many reasons celebrating Advent feels like something that doesn't match the modern West, where waiting a few extra seconds for a favorite show to stream can provoke an annoyance, and perhaps a quick glance at our social feeds, to ward off momentary boredom. And now it's glitching, yeah. And also in the book Advent, Tish Warrington describes that the question she was asked most when people heard she was writing about Advent is, okay, when can I turn on my Christmas lights in my home, and when can I start to play Christmas music? When is it okay to do that? Waiting is not a popular topic. And can you imagine what it would have been like for Simeon, waiting his whole life for the Messiah? So let's look at his story a bit deeper, the one Esther read with us. You can look it up if you want in Luke 2, because it's not coming up here again. Simeon, that was a man who knew what waiting was. Somewhere in his life, he got the promise from God that he wouldn't die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So along with the people of Israel, he waited. And in the text, we can read two things that can help us understand how Simeon spent this time of waiting. First, we read he was righteous and devout. He was probably a man who had intimacy with God, came to the temple often, and lived in a good relationship with others around him. So he is righteous and devout. And secondly, we can see in the text that he was focused on the voice of the Holy Spirit. Someday in his life, he noticed that God was revealing to him that he would not die before he would see the Messiah. He also, the scripture read, he was moved by the Spirit that day to go to the temple. And when Joseph and Mary entered the temple with this little baby, he somehow knew this was the Messiah. So Simeon spent his time waiting, very intentional. He was very alert, very awake to the stirring of the Spirit, that something might be happening. And Simeon helps me and helps us see that waiting can actually be a gift if we spend it really close to God. So one of the questions to ponder in this season of Advent is, what are you waiting for? And maybe after this question comes a way deeper, more important question. Who are you becoming while you wait? Is it making you restless, uncomfortable, irritated, or even maybe angry? Or are you like Simeon, turned into a person who is living righteous and devout, living in close relationship with God and the people around him? Let me share a bit of my story with you. Last year has been really challenging for me. On the 28th of October last year, I got many symptoms as a result from COVID a few weeks earlier. It took a while to figure out that it's long COVID, and I've been living with the everyday effects of it ever since, for more than a year now. That's also why I'm sitting down and reading most of the text, because my head is like a pudding, smooshy, and I do not have a lot of energy to be standing up. And ever since, I've been waiting for God to heal me, because I know he can. And in my hours of waiting, which were spent in bed and on the couch a lot, from December to April, a lot, and after that, often, I wrestled with God about it. I've gone from why now, what will happen, when will I be better, will I ever work again, who will I be after this, to who will I be in this? And way more important, who and where is God in this? And this is, of course, a very long story of hoping, despairing, crying, seeking, and a lot of more crying. But I want to share with you what I found out, that God was there. And I was there. Fully Leonie, fully loved, fully known. This is my life now, and it's not worthless. And it's not spent only waiting till I get better. And it was through these experiences that I built my hope on Jesus, and I started to live in the moment. And waiting and hope are very strongly connected, because waiting with no hope, or waiting with hope, can make all the difference. And I found out that hope isn't something that lies in the future of what will become of me and my life. But hope is that he is always there, and he's carrying my burdens with me. It helped me to see that I was already someone long before I could do anything with my day, because I couldn't do anything with my day for a long time. That I matter just because I am me, beautiful daughter of the Most High. What I found out is that hope isn't God solving all your problems. Hope isn't that life as a Christian is way more prosperous than not being a Christian. Hope isn't that we're somehow taken out of this messy, broken world and set apart in some sort of Eden-like life, yet. If that's your hope, you will experience a lot of hopelessness. Not because he can't solve all your problems, but because that isn't his goal. His goal is a relationship with you. And therefore, hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. If we can't grasp the depth of who hope is, storms in our lives will always knock us down. And I have come to believe that there isn't room for hope if there isn't enough room for sorrow. I have sometimes wondered, Is it in spite of the crying that I experienced a lot of hope during last year? Or is it because of? And I think I know the answer. And that makes true hope hard work. It wasn't, and it isn't fun to look my despair in the eye, to fully experience what I'm going through and think of all that I've lost. But it also really made me desperate and even angry when I was tempted into hoping that would all be fine after this or that prayer or this spiritual exercise. And then it wasn't. So in light of this, I want to share with you a story about Admiral James Stockdale. Maybe you know it. He was in a prisoner of war camp during the Vietnam War. And in an interview, he shared about who did and didn't survive the camp. And he highlights that those who didn't survive the camps were often the ones who couldn't cope with the disappointment. And these were actually the optimists who said, "We'll be out by Christmas," only to face despair when the date passed. "We'll be out by Easter then." And then Easter came and went. And the paradox in this, which became known as the Stockdale paradox, is that survival depends on confronting the brutal facts of your current reality while retaining an absolute faith that we will prevail in the end. So in order to persevere through difficult times, we need to avoid this naive optimism that all will be well soon. We must face our difficulties in honesty. We have lost loved ones. We have lost our health. We have lost jobs. Some of us have struggled with anxiety, battled with depression, and you've maybe even thought about ending your life. We live in a broken and a messy world. There's darkness in the midst of us. And Advent calls us to look into the darkness, to look the brutal reality in the eyes, name it, confront it, and bring it to the throne of God. But also, Advent also calls us to have faith in the end of the story. We know the end. We know how it will all turn out. This is a hope that will anchor us in our life and our relationship with God. And where do we get this hope? We get that hope when we look to our Creator, to the One, to Jesus who died and resurrected and defeated darkness. And we cannot afford to live without the hope that in the end, we will prevail. So there's danger in naive optimism, and I see it in the church too. The optimists who failed were the ones with a naive, unrealistic hope that they will be released by a specific near-term date. And when their hopeful predictions didn't come true, they were overcome with despair and died of a broken heart. Or in church terms, we could maybe say that it's a naive optimism than when we say that not only is God able to heal or fix this or that problem, which is an absolute truth, but that he will do it now or at a near-term date. We don't know what God will or will not do. Sometimes it seems to me that we want to rush into Christmas without taking the time to wrestle through Advent. We hurry to solutions without taking the time to really see where the darkness is. And this is why in the book Advent, he pledges for taking the time of Advent to acknowledge the hurt and the darkness there is in our life. And it really spoke to me, yeah, that we don't have a season for that. That we take the time to look it in the eye, accept it as our reality, and that we make the time and space to walk alongside people who are hurting. So that when we do come to Christmas, we don't feel forced, but we can really celebrate Jesus coming and the light of the world. And in the waiting, In the relationship we have with hope himself, we gain peace. A deep peace that doesn't rely on circumstances. It will never leave you and it will never dry out. The only thing we have to do is to dare to live our lives the way they are. Seek God in our daily lives and give in to a slow surrender to all God has for us. And this has healed me for sure. Not of my long COVID symptoms, but of living a life where I needed to be in control and where I had my ideas of what life should look like before it could be called a worthy life. I learned that I am worthy just by being me, living my life in the presence of my Father. I'm not sharing my personal story with you because you all need to know what I am experiencing. And although it's pretty convenient to cover a lot of how are you questions in the sermon, I'm telling you this because God is in it. He is the one who has not only promised me hope, but who is hope. And he waits with us. And he will return. And all will be made new. Now the band can come up again. And I've asked them to sing Firm Foundation with us. For me, it's a summary of what I've experienced last year and still experience. Jesus has been my firm foundation, and I trust him to be it wherever I go next. It's quite the familiar song, so feel free to worship along, but also feel free to just sit down and talk to God. Does my story, the words, maybe resonate to your life? And remember the questions I asked you earlier. What are you waiting for? And who are you becoming while you're waiting? Share with God what comes up and pray with him. Just talk to him. Maybe talk about your own life, but maybe also people come up and pray for them. The people who really need Jesus, need this hope in their life. So take this time to talk with him.